Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on AFR. And each weekend, we're excited about what God has brought our way to share with those who are listening, because part of AFR's pledge to you is that we're going to aid the church in carrying out the Great Commission here and around the world. And that means people groups. This is Bert Harper along with Nathan Harper. And Nathan, most nations are made up of people groups, aren't they?
Yeah, there's different words that we use in English to represent different sorts of things. But in the Bible, when you read the word nations in the New Testament, that really can be translated as people groups. We talk about that quite a bit here on this program.
Especially unreached people groups.
Well, yeah, and many of the people groups in the world today, there's thousands. Many of those are still considered unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's not enough followers of Jesus among that people to evangelize the remainder of that group. Sometimes there's some that are still unengaged with the gospel. And that should concern all of us as followers of Jesus. And there is a special group that is with us today, and it very much concerns them and their work that they do. We're privileged to have Laura Humphreys and Krista Tidmore with us from Beyond. Now, we're not talking about, you know, what is Beyond. We'll find that out.
That's not a hymn, Beyond, you know.
Right,
that's,
yeah. That's the Great Beyond.
Or, yeah, right.
And I know they've had some name changes in the past, and maybe they'll go into what that's about. But beyond.org is the website if you want to check that out. But ladies, thank you for joining with us today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much.
So we want to know, what is Beyond and what does it represent?
Well, we say Beyond because it's beyond what we can do. It's beyond our hope, beyond our imagination, beyond what we've done before. There are so many beyonds that could be used to describe what we're doing among the unreached.
Awesome. So we're talking about unreached people groups and the call to make disciples among all of those. And so Beyond, your organization, is on the front lines in doing that, in bringing obedience to that Great Commission call, involving more and more followers of Jesus in that obedience. Interesting to know a little bit, maybe some of the history or some of the specific work that Beyond is doing. And then I'd love to hear maybe how you individually got involved in that work.
Great. Well, Beyond exists to reach the unreached, those who have not had the privilege of hearing the gospel many times, once, twice, definitely not 10 times or thousands of times like a lot of us have growing up. So what we have done is originally named Mission to Unreached Peoples when we decided to take a look at the way that it had actually been done before in Scripture, i.e. looking at the book of Acts and what Jesus said to do in Matthew 10 and Luke 10. There were clues there about how to make disciples and how to do it where a huge part of the world would be reached. And so whenever Beyond decided to focus upon that, we had, with a slow start, we've seen exponentially multiplying disciples being made among the unreached.
Well,
when I hear that, very few things that are, you know, making an impact stay where they are. You know what I mean? They move in a certain direction.
Yeah, and a lot of them have small beginnings, like you were talking about. In the idea of what you're describing, disciple-making movements, others might call it church-planting movements, but a movement of God that goes beyond what we can imagine when we start, you know. But they usually, they tend to start small. You know, Jesus talked a lot about that mustard seed, that small seed. It's the smallest, but it will grow.
And Nathan, when you say that, Do you think there's somebody listening, waiting for something big to come along when God's laid something small for them to complete?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that first step, it might be a small step. It can be the hardest, that step of obedience, that step into faith, into what God's calling you to do. And it might seem insignificant, almost too insignificant to actually start.
Yeah.
But God, that's what he specializes in.
There's some good songs, you know, little as much when God is in it. So don't despise small beginnings. Well, let me ask you this. This is Laura. This is her voice. How did you get involved?
I got involved because I started volunteering in the 90s with the English as a Second Language program at my church, lots of internationals. And I was fascinated with anything international since I was a kid. I wanted to learn other languages. I was fascinated with others. That ended up being, my major, one of my majors at university, and international relations, anything international. And so when I volunteered with the English as a Second Language Bible group, the lady who I was working with had a long and distinguished career in discipling the unreached. And she cast the vision, and that's how I got involved with the unreached. Went on a mission trip. Her son and daughter-in-law were one of the host missionary families. One of her other sons and daughters-in-law were one of the others, and now they're part of the organization for which I work. So a lifelong journey to get to this point.
Did you hear the word volunteer, Nathan?
I did, yes.
Let me see. I think that's a good idea, you know. Jesus, I heard a sermon. I read it by Billy Sunday. And God the Father was looking for someone to come to earth and die for man so our sins could be forgiven. And went to Abraham. He said, Abraham, would you go? And he said, I'd go, but I need a Savior. You catch what he's saying, David? Mm-hmm. I need a Savior. Moses, no, I'd need a Savior. But he came to his son, Jesus Christ, and it was a voluntary mission. Jesus purposefully would come to us, volunteering. I bring that about to let us know how important volunteers are.
Yeah, absolutely. Krista, tell us a little bit about your story, your journey. How did you end up with Beyond?
Yes, it's interesting to reflect on because I've been with Beyond now for close to 11 years, and where I am now is very different from where I began. I really just needed a job, and I had always had an interest in missions and in ministry, but now I can look back and say I had no clue what that meant back then. And I can remember thinking, and I was raised in the church as well. I was raised in the church. I got my degree in biblical studies. And I can remember believing that the entire world had heard about Jesus, thinking that.
Right.
But just thinking the role of a missionary was to convince people that it's true. And I don't know where I came across or got that mentality.
I would say that's a pretty common thought in our minds.
In America, yes. It's the thought because especially southern part of America,
Midwest.
Yeah,
if you live in the Bible Belt, you kind of just, everybody you know, you
it's
know.
It's an assumption, isn't it?
Yep.
It was for me. And I now realize there's many, many people who have that same story, which is why I share it. And so I needed a job. I applied, and it was actually in my interview process where the person interviewing me, it was about 2 hours actually.
Oh, wow.
And just unpacked and did vision casting for me about the need for the unreached. And I'll be honest, I cried in my interview. I was so moved about what the organization was doing and my lack of understanding about the reality of the world. And through that, the Lord just opened a door for me to step into this ministry. And so I feel like I grew so much just in those first few months or even that first year or two of just having my mind and paradigms crumbling and then being rebuilt on the reality of what's going on in the world.
You know, when I heard that, I could not help but thank the Lord on a mission trip. Did the mission trip affect you in realizing people need to know Christ? Mission trips, short-term mission trips, really can serve as a stepping stone or hearing things for what God would have people to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And many times we can, when I say we, followers of Jesus, growing up in a church possibly or participating in a local church body, don't actually have that experience, don't have the opportunity to take a short-term mission trip to participate in that, or maybe where they live, maybe not cosmopolitan enough to recognize there's lots of different types of groups in this world, maybe even around me, and these groups as a whole don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Just like I might not have the opportunity to travel to them, they don't have the opportunity to have someone travel to them and share the good news of Jesus. It's about access, right? Like a lack of access. And it sounds like when you ladies heard the reality of here's the state of the world, here's what we're facing. There are millions of people around the world living, breathing, going through life, and then eventually dying without ever having the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus. I mean, you either have to like try to ignore that or you have to do something about it, right?
Yes.
And it sounds like you guys are doing something about it.
When I hear your stories and your ministry, let's bring it to reality, people, regardless. The other program that I do with Alex McFarland, many times they'll talk about race, and Alex and I are quick to say, there's one really race, and it's the human race. And every human, the Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men. Now, I leave that up to God, how he does that. I've got some thoughts on that. You know, Nathan, we've talked about that. But when you're involved in bringing that grace known to people who have not known it, Lord, I just ask you, what does that do to you? Does it encourage you, challenge you, bless you? What's your reaction when you have the opportunity to be a part of Beyond, which many times is able to take the gospel to people groups that need to know Christ?
It makes me reflect upon my own need, and it probably as the years go by, you know, having been privileged enough to know Jesus at a young age, and obviously not the way that I know him now, but it makes that faith grow. It makes that relationship deeper to realize that I was just as far away as they were, and I was brought up in the South. So it's a story. So as Nathan was talking about that it doesn't have to be a mission trip. A person in front of you on a mission trip is a story. I get to hear stories every day in my role at Beyond about changed lives. That's a big deal. So it doesn't have to be that person in front of me, but to grasp that what I know, other people, I want them to know. I'm not going to make them necessarily, but I want to share, give the opportunity. That's an injustice that they don't have the same opportunity that I've had.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you have numbers or anything to share with us, but when you hear numbers of how many unreached people groups there are in the world, and we're talking in the thousands, how many total population of people that means that have yet to hear the good news of Jesus, it can be overwhelming. And sometimes we like to be numb to that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. But when you're talking about there's actually individual stories that are involved, it makes all the difference. And are there any kind of stories that you would want to share with us, or any kind of anything recently that you've known that God is doing somewhere in the world that you will be able to share with us?
Yeah, and I will start out with some numbers, because okay. You're right, the numbers can overwhelm. But when we think about the region across North Africa into the Middle East, across Central Asia, the Indian subcontinent to Southeast Asia, you know, some missiologists would say the traditional 10-40 window, that's a lot of people, and the estimates vary, but you're talking around 2 billion people. Some estimates are higher than that, and that population is growing faster than our legacy mission efforts.
Okay,
that alone makes me want to say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, just biological population growth.
Correct.
Is exceeding what we currently have been able to do.
Right.
In missions. Okay.
And that, for somebody like myself, well, I don't want to keep doing that same thing over and over. So when the Lord led us to focus on disciple making, intentional disciple making, since about 2013, we've seen over 3.8 million baptized disciples.
Well, say that one more time.
So since
some numbers deserve to be repeated.
And when you look at the chart, so we're talking about from zero measurement in 2013. We just had our numbers come out. This is just brand new information within the last month. 3.8 million baptized believers since 2013.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Have you got where most of those took place, or is it pretty wide? I didn't know how detailed that is.
We do have the details, but it goes across the region, and there are a lot
that
in
region
in India.
Of 1040 that
yes,
we've been talking.
Yes,
okay.
And there are quite a lot in India. There are quite a lot in other parts of the world as well. And the lives that are represented, yes, there are individual lives that are changed, but what we're seeing in intentional disciple making is that you have groups of people coming to know the Lord. Families, communities. So you're not just talking about a changed life. You're talking about a much bigger change. We have a new video that's coming out. So if you do go to the website, you'll be able to see that before too long. And it talks about the story of one of the teams that went into an area, and the disciples had been made. And like Paul did in the New Testament, they go away. And then come back later to check on the churches. That apostle goes away and comes back and checks. And these men were having a heated discussion, and they were looking at a passage of scripture about how to treat their wives, basically. You know,
yes,
that women respect your husbands, husbands love your wives. And there's all this discussion going on in their heart language. So the missionary there did not know that, and he said, "What is going on?" Well, long story short, it turns out they're debating, can we follow Jesus and be a real man in our culture? Mm. Because in our culture, being a man means you beat your wife every day.
Yeah.
So as we do in intentional disciple making, we let the Word of God speak for itself with Holy Spirit leading. So it's not us coming in there and saying, you need to do this,
yes,
or throwing a bunch of NGO money at it. And
yep.
They did come to the conclusion that, no, we should not beat our wives. Yes, we will follow Jesus, and we will not beat our wives. But, wow. The Holy Spirit obviously teaches better than we do. but that's a whole community changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then those people, now that they have the DNA to go out and reproduce, they're able to go out and tell others. And that's part of who they are as following Christ, without us going in and no, you shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do that. This is not, you shouldn't do that.
That's awesome. What you're describing in a lot of ways is foreign to many of us in the West, in the U.S. particularly, where we live in such an isolated, individualistic society. We're not the most, I'll speak for myself, I'm not the most well-connected person. And when I say well-connected, I'm not saying how many people do I know or know of? It's how connected, deeply, intimately, closely, relationally am I with groups of people? And so we do tend to think in one-to-one evangelism and discipleship. And that's not discounting that. But we're talking about in the context that you're working in, that Beyond is working in, you do reach that one, you're actually going to be reaching lots.
Especially if it's the person of influence.
Yeah,
a
person of influence. Exactly, yep.
I have some numbers that might interest you on that.
All right, I'd love to hear it.
I have to cheat. So I'm looking at my cheat sheet. So if you are, let's say that you are a wonder-working evangelist and you're making a new, you're reaching somebody every week. So in a week, how many new Christians are there?
One a day.
When a week.
One a week.
So in
one a week.
52
in a year.
Okay.
If my addition is correct.
If you don't take any weeks off, right?
Does leap year change that? No, it doesn't.
No
Go
trick
ahead.
Question
No,
there.
Okay.
But if you're a disciple maker where you are trying to multiply yourself, so you're investing into teaching someone how to use use scripture to find out what's right. Holy Spirit is my guide, and I'm going to make another disciple who reproduces. So in your first, let's say you won a month. So okay. Your first month one, you've made one disciple.
So we're talking about starting small, starting slow.
One in month one, you have one disciple. In month two, you've got two disciples who've made four. In month three, you've got four disciples who've made eight. In month four, you've got eight disciples who'd made 16. And so on and so on. And at the end of the year, 4,096. Wow. So where would I want to spend my time?
Yeah, that's the power of multiplication.
So we're not just talking about making converts. Let me see. The Great Commission says make disciples.
Yeah.
And making disciples sometimes is time consuming more than just, again, we're not knocking sharing the plan of salvation. Somebody responded. Awesome. But when you spend time with them, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely does. Chris, I want to ask you a question, if you don't mind, and a little bit of change of direction. But when you share this information and you're in front of believers in the U.S. and churches, and you share the need for the gospel to go out among these unreached peoples, but you also demonstrate, just like Laura did, the possibilities that are there. And you guys are seeing it not just as possibility, but as reality, right? You've got 10 years of data that you've been following. When you share that, like, what kind of response are people giving? Do they shy away from that? Do they jump into that? What are you seeing?
That's a great question. And with my specific role, I have this conversation very often. And I would say most people are like me in what I shared, where their upbringing has not resulted in them thinking that this is a possibility or even a reality, or maybe even that there's a need for it, because they believe, like I did, that everyone knows about Jesus. And I think when people are confronted with the reality of it, one, it's really overwhelming for people. Mm-hmm. And so I think something I have found that's important is, like Laura just did, storytelling and sharing and breaking it down into small chunks for people to really digest and to be able to process. And so I will just share a personal story, if that's okay.
Perfect.
Of how this has impacted my own life. But like I said, I've been with Beyond for almost 11 years. And in full transparency, my job is to help people take the next step that they need to take in making disciples. So it's living spiritually open lives. It's getting out among the lost and so on and so on. And just trying to live a more openly spiritual life. And I realized about 5 or 6 years into it, that if I ever wanted to be sent overseas with my own organization, the way I was living my life, they would not send me. Because I was only spending time around Christians. I didn't have any unbelieving friends. And I really wasn't living this lifestyle that I was encouraging other people to live. And so, as the Holy Spirit does, deep conviction came over me, and I realized, wow, I am challenging these other people to step into making disciples and saying it's this beautiful thing, and yet I myself am not living that. And so the Lord did what He does and helped me take just small steps of obedience in that. And I say all of that as a recognition that I know I'm not the only person with that story, that most people I talk to really are in that same boat. We've been raised in Christian culture, many of us, and only hang out with other Christians, really find it scary to spend time around people who are different from us. And so most of what I do is just share my own personal story and say, it's really not as scary as you think it is. It really, there is life and there is joy and there is hope in being able to do this. And so right now, my life looks very, very different than it did 5 years ago. I probably spend more time with unbelievers than I do with believers, although I'm trying to keep it balanced. And it has been such a joy for me. And so I share my own personal story with people.
When I hear that story, you can't help but think about a young person as a Christian. We want our young people in our churches to share Christ, but at the same time, we don't want them to be drawn in. So there's this learning process and growing process. So when I hear your story, yes, you were willing, yes, possibly, I know, but God's timing is good. And so if God's speaking to somebody right now, just like we've heard about, okay, you've been on the milk of the word, it's time for you to be, as Paul would say and the writer of Hebrews said, on the meat of the word. If you're not there yet, get on the meat so that you can go out and be a part of these people who do not know Christ and not be drawn into their world. But it's always that tension, isn't it? Isn't it that, okay,
it's
I want to relate.
Not of the world.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul knew what he was writing about.
Yeah, so as we kind of, our conversation kind of comes to a close, maybe there is somebody listening, could be just a ordinary average Christian, right? Wherever they're listening from. Could be a church leader, a pastor or someone. It could be someone who maybe for the first time is hearing there's such a thing as unreached peoples, and they're living all in the world without hope of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, except for the few who will go to them and God doing this multiplication movement of disciples making disciples, making disciples. But maybe someone's listening and they're like, what do I do? What are my next steps? How can I maybe even reach out to beyond and get some help and maybe take, you know, a first step in this?
We just got just a few seconds. They can reach you, right?
They can reach us beyond.org. You can download stories about any other aspects of beyond.org/NRB to get a free downloadable story guide. There are videos on there, and you can also contact Krista.
Yes. Okay. We want to thank you for being with us today. And you've challenged us. And I think for those that are listening, I think we got part two coming up, Nathan.
Yeah.
I think we still got a few things to talk about. So thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on AFR.